Crossroads, East Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
Following on from Aisling Murphy's murder, and while I was doing some research for an interview I was doing there the other week with Nolene Blackwell of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, I came across this organisation, and they are doing fantastic work. And nobody, I think, knows about them out there. It's a website, it's spunout.ie, and it's Ireland's youth information website created by young people for young people. And they actually had up on Nolene Blackwell's tweet, that's how I'd seen it, it was a guide to end violence against women, which was fantastic when I went in to read it. So I wanted to get somebody on from Spun Out to tell us about the organisation itself and possibly go into the guide. But I'm delighted now to be joined by the, now this is a mouthful, the Gender, Sexuality and Relationships Content Editor, and this is Rebecca Connolly. Hello, Rebecca. Hi.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Not at all. When I saw Spun Out and the work and the fabulous stuff that's up there on the website from young people and then helping young people, it's really a great website that's been set up. Can you tell us a bit about Spun Out, please?
Yeah, so Spun Out is a youth information website, and we provide information across a range of topics that would impact young people between the ages of 16 to 25. So be that employment or education, like sitting your leaving cert or your junior cert, or going into college. And then we also have information around supporting your mental health and your well-being and your sexual health and relationships. So there's quite a vast amount of content there that's created by the writers at Spun Out, but then we also have another part of the site where young people themselves write opinion pieces, they write experience pieces, and they share their advice with other young people.
And these people who, you know, when it was first set up, when was it first set up actually?
So it was first set up in 2005, right, by a man called Rory McKenna, and they were originally based in Donegal, and the company or the site has grown since then. We're now based in Dublin, and we get a lot of funding from different groups. So we're funded a lot by the HSE, and they would help us do our work. But then there's other kind of groups and charities that would fund us and fund our work as well.
Right, and then the people who put up the articles or write these articles, I mean, even this guide that I spoke about at the beginning with regards to violence against women, are these people within that area, or are they, as you say, opinion pieces from, you know, students that may be studying that area, or where do the pieces come from?
Yeah, so if anyone's on the site, they'll be able to see, if they click into an article, that it will either be labelled fact sheet or it will be labelled voices. And voices is the opinion pieces side. So for the fact sheets, they will be written by our content editors like myself. And then we have a process where we send the articles out for validation to two subject matter experts. So say if there's a piece around sexual violence, and we recently did a campaign on sexual violence and bystander intervention, and we worked with the bystander intervention program at UCC in Cork to validate those articles for us, to review them and to make sure that we were getting that expert insight when creating the content.
That's very good. Now, you yourself, you're the content editor for Gender, Sexuality and Relationships. So have you worked in this area yourself, or are you working in this area yourself?
Yeah, so when I first joined Spun Out, I'm with Spun Out 5 years now, and originally I joined as a content producer, and I had a master's in journalism, and then at my time during Spun Out, I have trained and I've done courses in DCU around sexual health. I've trained with other sexual health groups, and I've trained across different kind of areas to give me that insight into giving young people advice around relationships and sexual health.
And then is this just a a volunteer-led organisation?
No, so we have a fully paid staff, and we also then have the side of our volunteers whose work is as equally important to us as our paid staff. So we have kind of two aspects of how you can volunteer or get involved with Spun Out. So if you're a young person who's interested in writing or publishing opinion pieces or experience pieces, you can get in touch with us, and one of our staff members will work with you to help edit those pieces and to publish them on site. But we also have something called our action panels, and our action panels are made up of around 130 young people from around Ireland who come together and feed into our work at Spun Out and tell us really what are the big issues, what are the topics that young people need information around. So those group of young people, we would consult with them when we're working on a project to say, what is the information needs of young people at the moment? What is not being discussed that needs to be discussed? And like, what can we write that will help to give young people the information they need at the moment?
Very good. So are you working then, I suppose, with young people in schools and colleges all around the country then?
Yeah, so we have five regional panels that are kind of split up by provinces, and then we also have two additional action panels that are for young people from they're called the BAME action panels, so young people from Black and ethnic minority backgrounds, and then we also have an action panel for young travellers. So it really just allows us to be able to listen to the needs of young people, regardless of whether they're, you know, living in Dublin or living in more rural based areas, because the issues that young people can face depending on where they live can be quite different.
Yes, it's a really, really good resource for young people, and especially as I said at the beginning, you know, it's by young people. You know, when I looked on the website there and saw the team that are involved, your young, vibrant people who other young vibrant people will listen to, I suppose, more so than some old fuddy-duddy trying to tell them this is good advice. It's a really, really good, I mean, you work for it's education, employment, health and well-being, LGBTI issues, life. What's that with regards to when you say life?
Yeah, so the life section can cover a range of different things. It can kind of just talk about relationships, and it can talk about family. It also has a climate change section in it, or the climate crisis, which is impacting, you know, many different aspects of young people's lives at the moment. We have information there around bullying, around, you know, learning to be good with money, or how to, you know, get used to when you're transitioning out of living with your parents into moving in by yourself, advice around accommodation. So life kind of covers a wide range of topics around what young people might be experiencing as they grow, as they become more independent, and as they become kind of more individuals.
Very good. So it covers all areas, and mental health and other areas. But now this guide that was brought out to end violence against women, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, the news of Aisling Murphy's murder was just so horrific, but unfortunately it's not something that is that shocking. We hear about violence towards women so casually across media, both internationally and at home. And although this death really kind of grasped the nation, there's so many other experiences of violence against women that don't get attention or are just seen as commonplace. So we wanted to be able to provide our readers with resources if they were feeling, you know, overwhelmed by the sort of violence that's present in their life, or if they were feeling angry and they felt like they wanted to be able to do something or learn and grow. And we also wanted to be there for maybe people who hadn't realized that we all contribute, or we all can contribute, to the issue of sexual violence, and that this could be a learning point for them also. We had a lot of resources on the site, and we had recently done our campaign with the UCC Bystander Intervention Programme that really focused around coming out of lockdown, going back into social experiences, and how to react or how to intervene if you witness someone experiencing sexual violence. Some people might hear the word sexual violence and they think, you know, of rape, or they think of sexual assault, and they are parts of sexual violence, but sexual violence can also be made up of lots of kind of microaggressions, of people being, you know, touched on a night out if they don't want to, of people being grabbed, of people just making sexual jokes or comments towards people when they're on the street. All these things contribute to the wider problem of sexual violence, and we had a lot of resources around those that we wanted to promote as part of this End Violence Against Women article, along with other content that we had around, you know, toxic masculinity, around people experiencing discrimination because they're LGBTI+, about people experiencing discrimination because of racism. There's so many different aspects of discrimination, of violence, that kind of contribute to a much wider problem. And we just wanted to be able to help people access these resources and know that if they were feeling upset or overwhelmed, that there were things that they could do to help themselves feel like they could contribute to make the situation even a little bit better.
Yes. I mean, as you say, I mean, even recognising that something that has been done, it may have been done for years, and somebody feels that they can't say anything about it, especially within workplaces. We touched on that with Nolan Blackwell, where, you know, a female or a male, we've seen it, you know, that a male may have a woman put upon them or whatever. But it's recognising that this is wrong, that you can stand up and say something. You know, that's the problem. I think people, the fear that's in people against, you know, standing up, that has to be addressed. That, you know, we need to let people stand up and know that it's wrong, and then the peers or the bosses in organisations and the government and whatever stand up and say, yes, this is wrong, this is what we need to do. So this guide actually, you know, it puts out there every different aspect and where even men can address it, where they need to. Now, with regards to, you even touched on it there with gender, sexuality, and I'm sure, you know, I was saying myself to Nolan when we were talking, I was saying, you know, sometimes I can be afraid walking through a car park of a shopping centre late in the evening when there's a crowd, a little group of guys going around on their bikes. But I'm sure people who are transgender or, you know, I suppose when we say differences, what we need to be addressing is that we all embrace diversity and embrace differences, and that catcalling that women sometimes get from men, that people of transgender aren't getting it as well. And how do we educate people to that, you know, to become a bit more tolerant, I suppose?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes people, when they get, some people, you know, people who catcall, we know that catcalling happens often, but you think to yourself, oh, I don't think I'd know anyone who would do that, you know, and there can be this kind of rhetoric that it's this other person that no one really knows. But if it's happening, it means that we, you know, it's someone in our community, it's someone in our area that's doing these things. And because you may make assumptions around, well, all my friends have the same, you know, beliefs as me, they would never do that, you may not talk about those sort of things, or you might assume that those sort of things don't need to discuss. But I think by, you know, having open conversations around your male friends, around the men in your family, around how, you know, those sort of actions are wrong, how they make people feel, how they contribute to a wider problem, can help those kind of thoughts be shared with those around you at times where they're not feeling attacked or they're not feeling like you're giving out to them for doing something. And there can be subtle ways that we can introduce these sort of ideas to the men in our lives and highlight problems without, you know, making them feel like we're saying all men do this or all men are bad people, because, you know, people can really push back when they hear those conversations and become defensive. So being able to talk about these things in safer spaces, being able to discuss it, I think can help to spread those sort of ideas around, you know, why these things shouldn't be done and how they contribute to a larger problem. It can also, you know, the kind of resources that we provide online talk about knowing how to intervene and knowing how to help or do something if you see someone being, you know, catcalled on the street or being bothered. And it can be quite hard as a young person to ever feel like you would be in the position where you could confidently intervene. And what we try to highlight is that, you know, those sort of things don't have to be big altercations. They don't have to be large arguments. There can be subtle ways that if you think someone's being harassed or being followed, that, you know, you can go up to them and pretend you know them and ask them, do they want to come into a shop with you? Or you can kind of distract what's happening by asking someone for directions or asking someone for the time. There's lots of small ways that we can help other people, but what's important is that when we see things that are happening, we do something about it and we don't assume that someone else is going to do it instead.
Right, yes. That's very good advice. Now, I know you get some funding from the HSE, but I'm sure you're always looking for funding and always looking for people to get on board with some articles as well. So how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if anyone wants to visit spunout.ie, they'll be able to find all the information there around writing for us or volunteering with us. We also have our social media channels, so Instagram, our TikTok, our Facebook, and our Twitter pages, and all of those can be accessed online, and you'll be able to find more information there about getting in touch with us.
Very good. Well, thanks so much, Rebecca, for coming on and chatting to me this morning. And it's great work that you guys are doing. I really find your website really, really good. So I hope people do get
on board. I just
want
to say, finally, that we also have a text support line. So it's a 24-hour free service that if people are experiencing any issues or having any difficulties in their life, they can text this number and get non-judgmental supportive advice. So the text line is 50808. And if you text Spunout to 50808, one of our trained volunteers will text you back and can help you with any difficulties you might be experiencing.
That's fantastic. Brilliant. So they just text 50808 and someone will get back to them.
Yeah, they text Spunout to 50808.
Very good. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Best of luck with all that you're doing, and we may talk again in the future. Take care.
Great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Not at all. Bye-bye. Now, Rebecca Connolly there from Spun Out. And as she said there, if you've any issues at all and wish to get in touch with them or get some help, you can text Spun Out, and it's SPUNOUT. To that text number 50808.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.